The UK Prime Minister breaks her silence to defend a tax cut package that has sent fear pulsing through financial markets. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Liz Truss has spoken to the media for the first time since last week's so-called mini-budget caused maximum turmoil in the markets. The Prime Minister appeared on eight local BBC radio stations this morning with the objective of speaking to the country and to reassure her constituents that her decision to stick to her government's tax cut policy is the right one. In every interview, she insisted she is prepared to make what she called controversial and difficult decisions to deliver economic growth. But given the plunge in the value of the British pound to a record low and an historic surge in borrowing costs, her assertions did not go unchallenged. Here she is speaking to BBC Bristol's James Hansen.
We have a very, very difficult economic global situation because of the war that Vladimir Putin has perpetrated in Ukraine, and countries are under pressure around the world.
This isn't just about Putin. I mean, your Chancellor on Friday opened up the stable door and spooked the horses so much you can almost see the economy being dragged behind them.
This is about Putin and the war in Ukraine. That is why we are
facing the Bank of England's intervention yesterday was the fault of Vladimir Putin, was it?
What I was saying is it's very difficult and stormy times in the international markets.
Well, yesterday, the Bank of England stepped in with an emergency bond buying program to try to lower government borrowing costs. The question is, whose problem is this to fix? I put that question to Sir John Vickers. He is a former Bank of England chief economist and former member of the Policy Setting Monetary Policy Committee.
Let's begin on what has caused the financial market turmoil. That's plain for everyone to see. It's the mini-budget statement that the government made on Friday. So this expansionary policy by the government is going to be inflationary, which is the last thing that we need at the moment. So that puts more onus on the Bank of England to raise interest rates.
If you were sitting there, if you were on the MPC as you were, what would you do?
I believe they need to stand very firmly behind their remit of retaining and holding on to price stability, meeting the inflation target. And that is going to need, I believe, very substantial rate increases. But what they had to do yesterday was a kind of sticking plaster to hold the fort until their next meeting. But yesterday's move is the last thing an independent central bank with a price stability remit would have wanted to do. And so it must have been a very serious situation that they had before them.
Are they going to be the ones sort of on the line? If the government holds its line and sticks to the plan, refuses to backtrack in any way, do you think the Bank of England will come out with higher rates? And if so, how much higher can we expect them to go, do you think?
I believe they do need to go for substantially higher rates. And I would, if I were them, get on with it. Their credibility, their independence in the long run is, to my mind, even more important than that of any given government. We definitely don't want to go back to the days where price stability was elusive in the UK. For growth, everything that the government wants to achieve, growth, prosperity, it is vital. And the Bank of England needs to stand firm in order to secure that.
Sir John Vickers, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, UK financial markets are still under pressure this morning. The pound is holding near $1.08, where it closed yesterday. Government borrowing costs, though, are rising with no sign of a reversal on the government's unfunded tax cut plan. Checking some other numbers now, stock benchmarks across Europe are down in the 1.5% range. Data showed economic confidence in the region has fallen now to its lowest level since 2020. Well, from the Bank of England now to the Lebanese Central Bank, it announced it will revalue the nation's currency, the lira or Lebanese pound, as part of reforms to alleviate an economic crisis there. How effective that will be, though, is questionable because Lebanon uses different exchange rates depending on who's using the currency or what it's being used for. The BBC's Anna Foster told me more from Beirut.
So you have the one that we're talking about, the official exchange rate, which since 1997 has been 1,500 Lebanese lira to the dollar. But that in no way actually describes how much things cost here, because you have the Serafa rate, and that's currently at 29,800. And then you have the parallel rate, which most people here think of or refer to as the black market rate. That is 39,000. 1,000. And that is the one that things are based on. So when you go out and you buy your fuel for your car, or soap, or eggs, or oranges, or whatever it is, that is based on the exchange rate of 39,000. So even though on the 1st of November they're changing the official rate, it still doesn't really in any way reflect the cost of things here in Lebanon at the moment.
What about the people of Lebanon? How are they thinking about this exchange rate change? How are they thinking about some of these reforms? Are they optimistic at all?
I think optimism died quite a long time ago in Lebanon, which is a really sad thing to say, but you know, reflective of the way people feel here at the moment. What this rate change will do, it will reflect a small pay increase for people who are still receiving their wages, their salary at that official rate, but it still won't bring them anywhere near the actual exchange rate that they would need to buy things on the same level as everybody else. They can't afford bread. More than 80% of Lebanese people are living in poverty at the moment, and the chances of that changing anytime soon are vanishingly small.
The BBC's Anna Foster for us in Beirut. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
No problem at all. You're welcome.
Well, finally, we've been discussing the fear that has pulsed through international financial markets recently, but there is a place we can find a sliver of optimism: the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. That is where German sports car maker Porsche made its trading debut on Thursday. It was the biggest public share offering in the country for a quarter century, as the BBC's Theo Leggett reports.
This sale, which values Porsche at more than $75 billion, gives investors a chance to buy a stake in the jewel of the Volkswagen Group. The brand is both prestigious and profitable. The sale will raise more than $9 billion for Volkswagen, part of which will be used to fund the development of new electric cars. But control of the company itself will remain firmly in the hands of Volkswagen's main investors, the Porsche and Piëch families. The sports car maker has driven onto the stock market at a time of deep economic uncertainty and volatility on the exchanges, which have deterred other companies from launching their own public share offerings. But analysts said Porsche was a special case due to its size and the strength of its brand. In London, I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.